The Bird Show.
Sanjay Gupta is on hold right now. And I want you guys to try to keep this professional.
What? Okay? You're saying it's our fault?
I want you guys to try and keep this professional. Every time he's on, you guys make it uncomfortable.
It's your creepy. It's your creepy.
It's not that I'm creepy. It's just that we've got a friendship. And but when he's on the radio, what he likes to do is keep it on a professional level.
Okay.
So that's what I like to do also. So I hope that you guys respect that again today.
You're weird.
Define friendship.
You're just getting weirder.
Is he hearing this?
Define friendship?
Define y'all's friendship.
Oh,
okay.
No.
When you say friendship.
No, right. If he's listening, no, just.
Let me define friendship for you then.
Define
before we get
friendship.
Him on and I have to turn on the professional Bert.
Okay.
I have a strip of photos on my refrigerator that we took in one of those photo booths.
Oh, no.
Don't make us guilty.
Together.
You know what? Bert,
about these? No. Does he know about the strip?
Bert Show listeners, don't make us guilty by association.
It was a great day. We spent a whole day at Dave and Buster's together and went go-kart racing together.
That's cute.
And we went into the photo booth and he was making all these odd faces, and I've got that whole strip of pictures on my refrigerator.
Was it him or the cardboard cutout?
See, again, you're making it weird.
You have a cardboard cutout of Sanjay Gupta in your office.
You gave that to me.
And Wendy's the one making it weird. I didn't cut the hole in it.
I didn't cut a hole in it. And now he's listening. Now it's going to be awkward. Can we put it to the side? And just pretend this never happened?
Please.
And let's keep it professional, Melissa?
Let's please do.
Yeah, I'm the weird one on the show.
That just got creepy.
I mean, the whole world respects Dr. Gupta. Why can't we?
I do. Tremendously. Good morning, Dr. Gupta. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. Do you still have the other half of that charm bracelet?
No, I didn't think that. I thought
it on my neck right now. I'm talking about the other half of it.
Yeah, and I know this could get strange, but remember when I took that vial of blood from you and I started wearing it around my neck also? It still sits there as well, so everything's good with me.
Yeah, last time I was on the show, you guys were so serious. I was worried. I thought maybe something had gone wrong with you.
But I think we were talking about a serious topic, weren't we?
I know. I mean, we always keep it real, but, you know, we got the friendship and can have a little fun.
Yeah, well, and again, it's a fine line you and I walk because as best friends, I don't want that to translate on the radio because...
Oh, no. Come on. Stop talking too long, Bert. Talking too long.
Sometimes the waters can get murky, so I try to keep it professional. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, so Father's Day is coming up.
I don't even want to talk about Father's Day. First, I want to talk about Jen, and she looks at peanut allergies a little strangely, and we thought that maybe you could clarify this for her because she made some statements yesterday that frankly upset a lot of Bert Show listeners.
Well, I don't know what statements they were. I just don't get it, this widespread peanut allergy now, because it seems like it's so different from when I was a kid growing up or when most of us in here were growing up, where you were raised on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and now schools have to be nut-free and nobody's allowed to bring PB&Js to school and all that kind of stuff. I just don't understand why nut allergies are so widespread now and they weren't back maybe just even 10 years ago.
But isn't the truth that, like, the underlying theme here, Jen, for you is that you think that parents are a little paranoid about it, like over-the-top paranoid about it?
Well, I think that once parents discover a nut allergy in their kids, they definitely are. But I think, I mean, I'm surprised at this whole nut allergy phenomenon really is what it is.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've done a lot of reporting on this, and I think in part you're right. I mean, I think that there is a higher sense of paranoia about all sorts of things nowadays compared to when we were kids. I mean, you name it, right? Playing outside, types of foods we eat, everything. There's also this idea that we probably there's this thing called the hygiene hypothesis, that we just keep our kids so clean nowadays, don't expose them to things. And whenever you get exposed to various things in the environment, your body's immune system sort of builds up and can fight things off better. But because we don't do that, what would otherwise be a less harmful allergy, like something to peanuts or something, becomes a much bigger allergy because they've never seen peanuts before. And all of a sudden, the first time they see it, the allergy just kicks into overdrive and can be really problematic. Mm-hmm. And then we probably diagnose these more than ever before as well. But, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you go to schools, you go in the kitchens, anything with peanuts, they're going to cook in a different part of the kitchen. They're not going to use the same utensils, all that sort of stuff, because of this very thing. On airplanes, you know, even opening up peanuts. There have been studies show that some guy opens up peanuts in row 16A, in seat 16A, and the guy in seat 20E it can be affected by it. So some airplanes have they don't even let you have peanuts on airplanes. That's why you get pretzels or mixed things instead of the peanuts nowadays. So you're right. You're absolutely right.
Now, Dr. Gupta, that fascinates me. I've never known a food allergy to be airborne. So, I mean, just what you touched upon, the thing about peanuts as opposed to, I mean, you talk about kids not being exposed to things as much anymore, but all, it just seems that it's only peanuts that we're hearing about, and I've never heard of smelling a peanut causing you to have an allergic reaction.
Yeah, it's very rare. I mean, I haven't actually seen it either, but they're working on this idea that even if there's a remote possibility, they're just going to, you know, quash it. So, mm-hmm. you know, that peanut dust gets into the air, someone breathes it in. Could that be a problem? You know, we're not going to take the chance. Let's just not even go there. That's sort of the thinking, I think.
Yeah, I was
really, really protective, precautionary.
I was telling these guys yesterday that the school that my kids go to can't have peanuts in the school whatsoever because there's one child at the school that has an intense peanut allergy, and if it goes airborne, man, I mean, he's in bad, bad shape. So they got to keep all peanuts out of the school.
It's just sad because that affects every other kid in the school.
You're robbing him of his youth.
One kid, you know what I mean? Maybe I should change my thought on homeschooling for that one peanut kid.
So I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. And my wife is, you know, she was really adamant about when we could start giving them peanut butter. Because, you know, my oldest one loves peanut butter now. Uh-huh. I can't remember what age we started. I think it was after one mm-hmm. that we let them have peanuts. And I'm not sure if there's a hard and fast rule about that. But, you know, three kids in the house, you know, here, Soleil, my youngest, try a bite of my peanut butter jar sandwich. It's just, you know, stuff like that's going to happen from time to time. And our kids have turned out just fine.
Sanjay Gupta from CNN joining us on The Burt Show this morning. Okay, the special that you have coming up, I think, on Saturday, right in time for Father's Day. This, yep. I'm telling you right now, I'll give you the mascara alert because this thing is probably going to bring tears to your eyes.
Well, you know, I'll tell you guys that the show has a happy ending, which I wasn't sure of when I started working on this, you know, almost a year ago. And I was very, it does get you a little choked up. And in short, it's a 45-year-old man, perfectly healthy, prime of his life. He's a writer. He's got twin girls. He's living the dream with a Marge. And then he has a abnormal blood test on a routine physical that all his doctors tell him not to worry about. They don't think it's anything important. Yeah, just get it followed up. He follows it up. It's still high, this abnormal lab value. And long story short, it ends up, you know, being a diagnosis of osteosarcoma, which is a rare cancer, and an especially rare in someone of that age. It usually occurs in kids. And everything that he hears and that he's reading about, he thinks he's going to die. And so right away, he's like, oh, my God, you know, I had my whole life planned out. I had all these things I wanted to do. I got these girls. I wanted to raise them. I had my plans on how, you know, what I was going to do for them. And I'm not going to get to do those things anymore. So what he starts to do is form this council of fathers who can essentially be his voice after he's gone, teach them, his daughters, the things that he wouldn't be able to. And that was sort of, it's a tearjerker. I'm not, you know, I get kind of choked up. It's hard to talk about. I'll tell you, you know, a little bit of a spoiler alert, but he does well. He ends up beating the cancer, and he's around, and you know he's a large part of the show, obviously. But I think that the part of the thing that really appealed to me was this idea that, you know, nowadays if you look at families, we're raising these family units. We become so increasingly isolated, a single parent or two parents raising a kid, typically in most households. You don't have the large families, or in you know ancient times where you had communities really raising the kids of the community. Parents helped, but it was the community as a whole that really raised parents. And now we've become increasingly isolated. And what Bruce, who's the 45-year-old guy, did, and what I think one of the messages I took out, was that are there communities that really help raise our kids, teach them things that maybe we wouldn't have even taught them, expose them to all sorts of different things? I found that really interesting, and that he was able to find six guys that knew him so well. None of them are family members. None of them are guys that he could work with. So, Bert, you couldn't pick Jeff or vice versa. And you find six guys in your life where you're that close to that could do that for you. I thought that was fascinating.
What an honor.
It is. Right now, these were all fathers, or were these guys, some of these guys, single also that just could pass something positive onto their children, or all these men had to be fathers?
Nope, they did not have to be fathers. Huh. A couple of them are not fathers. They're just really close friends of Bruce, who had a particular part of the relationship with Bruce. You know, they had something about their relationship with Bruce that was really specific that Bruce wanted to impart on his children. So one of the guys, for example, is a poet named Josh Ramos, who you know, Bruce is a writer. He's an author of books. And so is Josh, and he really wanted Josh to pass on the love of writing to his kids, and this idea that you can dream through your books. And you know, Bruce travels all over the world to write his books. He writes books about religion. He retraced Moses' steps. He does all kinds of things like that. Josh is sort of that same kind of guy, a world traveler who writes for various magazines about travel and all sort of stuff like that. And he wanted that sort of dream aspect to be passed on through Josh.
It's a fascinating story. Now, is this told retrospectively, or do the cameras go with him as he goes to ask these other fathers to help him out?
We go with him as he asks
the
father.
Wow.
And it's
cool.
A touching moment because some of these fathers don't know exactly what's going on. They've heard that Bruce is not, you know, that he's sick and that he's, you know, he looks sick. He's lost all this weight. He doesn't look well. He's been basically, you know, sort of sequestered in his home in New York. And then he shows up. Like, for example, one of the guys, Jeff Dollar, lives in Vermont. He's a farmer in Vermont. And he was someone that Bruce knew when he was a kid. And they're very close. And Bruce literally shows up on his Vermont farm. And Jeff's excited to see him. You know, big hugs and everything. And then they sit down at this table. And Bruce basically says, look, I want to read you this letter that I wrote to you. I was going to send it, but I thought it was better that I just come to you in person and read it. And he reads this letter that basically says, as you know, I'm sick. I have this thing. It doesn't look great. The odds aren't in my favor. And so here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to step in and be my voice after I'm gone. And Jeff, as you might imagine, he's overcome with at first disbelief and then just total grief about the whole thing. But then, you know, he understands what he's being asked and says, of course I'll do this, you know. And one of the guys that he asks says no. He says, I'm not going to do this.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Because, because since I do this, I've accepted what you're telling me. So, you know, and some of these guys have lost their own fathers. And they lost their own fathers young. And I think it was emotional for them because they kind of wished that they still had their father's voices in their heads to help raise them as they were growing up as well. And they didn't have that. So, you know, it is a concept that, you know, I thought about as well. I imagine you guys are sitting here listening to this. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think about it as well. Bruce was faced with a diagnosis, so he had this time to prepare. But one of the things he said to me, because I have three daughters around the same ages as his, he said, look, you know, I mean, the reality is it could happen to us at any time. I mean, you go, Sandra, you're off in war zones fighting all the, I mean, you know, seeing these gunfights all the time. Something could happen to you. And have you thought about this sort of thing? And reality is most of us don't. We simply don't want to go there in our own minds, emotionally or whatever. And it's a tough thing to do, but you know, it's an important thing to do as well.
Well, to save the awkward moment that we could have in the future, I just want to let you know when you do call me and you ask me if I want to be on this council for your children, that you know the answer is going to be yeah, right?
Wait, is this Bruce, is this Bird or Jeff?
Hey, it sounds like a great special. Again, it is on Saturday night. It is at 8 o'clock, and it's called Dads for My Daughters.
Dads for My Daughters.
I got that right. Okay.
Hey, Dr. Gupta, just a quick question because
apology.
I'll email that later.
What do you mean?
But Bert just passed around a couple days ago, like one of those, you know, post-traumatic injury care forms. And he said, no matter what happens to him, you have to give him mouth to mouth.
Why are you making it weird?
Before we pull the plug,
Sanjay, I'll let you go. I'm sorry.
Do you have?
What if I'm in China or something? It's gonna be a long flight, but I'll be there. I'll fly in.
Of course you would.
Bert will wait.
And I know that. And I already know the answer to this question. But next time we have you on, will you come in studio? You can say no.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to come hang out with you guys. I want to see the cardboard cut out and, you know, put the charms together, the whole thing. It'll be fun.
Cool, and I live right down the road, so if you want to crash the night before.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming out with us, Dr. Gupta.
Thank you, Dr. Gupta.
Dr. Gupta Bert.
I'll talk to you later today. Bye-bye.
on TV when you're looking at me.
Love you.
Get it. The Bird Show.